hanging them. The pain was unbearable, he said. They left me like that, my toes broken and bloodied for 20 days, lying around like a rug. I lost over 25 kilos while being held hostage, and I cannot walk because of the torture. Ali Naif Muhammad Al-Masri, 34, was among a group of men rounded up during a night raid by the Zionist regime forces in the northern West Bank city of Qalqilya in January. Masri, who is from Gaza, and the other men had previously been working in the occupied territories, but had been displaced to Qalqilya when their work permits were withdrawn at the start of the war. Following an army raid on the building where they were staying, the men were blindfolded, handcuffed, and dragged to a space alongside the fence separating the West Bank from the occupied territories. Masri said they kept us there for about a month. We were workers, but there were also sick people there, people with cancer. Some of them were elderly, also were brutalized, tortured, and humiliated. There were no regard for human life. One day, Masri was among 10 men separated by the Zionist regime troops from the rest of the detainees. The men were made to strip and kneel by the fence. He said, "An army commander came and waged a psychological war against us. He shouted at his unit, 'Kill them all, every single one of them.' Then the troops started shooting and we heard live ammunition all around us. I had no idea if I was dead or alive." The men were then taken to a room for questioning. He said, "The first question was, 'Who do you know?' And he showed me photos from my neighborhood. If he didn't like my answers, he would hang me by my arms, still handcuffed. My interrogation lasted for 10 days. At this time, I didn't know when it was day and when it was night. I was freezing all the time, freezing and handcuffed." Other times, Masri said his interrogator would burn cigarettes on his skin and kick him. He was made to sit on a chair that delivered electric shocks and was prevented from sleeping. He said, "The troops and their commander were monsters. When I asked for water, the troop would laugh, go to the corner, urinate in a plastic bottle and bring it to me to drink. When I refused, he would drop the whole thing on me." After several weeks, Masri and other men were handcuffed and blindfolded, put on an army truck, and driven for 6 hours to Karam Abu Salem crossing. He said, "Before they released us, they undressed us again and took our clothes. When they dropped us off there, there were 55 male detainees and 6 female detainees. They made us walk north, and after walking a long distance, the troops started shooting at us. Later, we learned that the 6 women had been kidnapped from inside Gaza and were held hostage for 3 months. We didn't know anything about them."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
"And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness."
"God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, whereby we try to criticize movies with religious, spiritual, and metaphysical themes. For that, I've invited Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser again to the studio to help me criticize the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Maul. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the studio again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, it was a pleasure to be with you, Brother Muhammad Jawad.
You're welcome. Well, you know, from the last two episodes ago, we tried to criticize the movie Astral, directed by Chris Maul, produced in 2018, which is a British horror film, actually, with, you know, Alex as his major character, you know, played by Frank Delane, of course. Before me asking any questions about this movie or the theme about this movie, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
I can't really tell you how to do it. I can only describe how I did it. Find somewhere comfortable. Rest your eyes. Concentrate on your breathing. You are connected to all that exists. I am empowered to travel wherever I wish to go.
So, astral projection allows you to contact...
I don't think you should be messing around with that.
Why exactly you want to try?
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. The movie we are trying to criticize is called Astral. It stands for Astral Projection. It was produced in 2018 and it was directed by Chris Maul. Well, the story is about a student of metaphysics who, you know, tries or learns about astral projection or the scientific premise of AP and then tries to practice this or enter another realm to see, you know, his deceased mother, but he faces the consequences. Brother Yasser, what does or how does Alex's experience with astral projection affect his mental health and perception of reality?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, as the movie clearly shows that he becomes very stressful. He starts seeing things. He starts doubting.
Yes.
I mean, in the beginning of the movie, it showed that... I mean, you spoke about in one of a few programs before about people born with this kind of disposition.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible we have this kind of thing that people are born with certain skill sets or a certain gifts, as you want to call it.
Yes.
In the way that he drew a particular picture by seeing a particular being. And the reason for his mother's death and so on and so forth may have played on him. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different things affecting him. But yes. I think the movie itself then shows that, you know, this is not something that should be practiced. Even in the Islamic teachings and stuff, generally, these things are not, you know, persuaded to do. They're actually dissuaded to don't do it because of the damages it can do, the potential damages.
For the general public.
For anybody, even the person who's doing it.
But somebody who's talented to do so.
Doesn't matter. Just because you're talented to do it doesn't mean you have to do it.
But
on all basis.
But if they can, like, for example, find out what the other realms has for them or have for them. Like what Sayyid Abdullah was
like, for example, in the end of the day, the Sharia gives you a certain way of life to go about. Going to the in another realm is going to do what for you in terms of Sharia? Is it going to make you pray your namaz better? No.
Very unlikely. If you find out, for example, there are different realms
again, as I mentioned,
of existence, like the afterlife.
You can
example.
Also be, you can't. Because again, if the astral realm is just still a physical realm, you're not going to the afterlife.
If they are leaving the physical realm.
But again, that's going to the barzakh realm. And that is not everybody can do that.
Yeah, not everybody, but those,
very few people
I'm talking
that.
About those select few.
Even then, when they come back, they don't tell anybody anything.
Some of them.
Because one of the principles of a true mystic is that he doesn't tell anybody anything. It's a truth. If a person comes and starts blabbering.
Yes, but they are sometimes permitted to divulge or disclose a little information to other people.
By who? Who's given that permission? Who's given that permission? The nafs, which again is nafs al-ammara, which is the evil nafs. Who gave the permission?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I haven't experienced that. But
exactly. In Irfanic teachings, there's always this teacher-student relationship. If a person does something like that without a teacher, know something is wrong.
Yes.
Know that there is something devilish in it and evil in it. Like I mentioned previously, that person can be manipulated.
Mm-hmm. True.
Shaitan is easy.
True.
That person can be used to say something that he did not see or say it in a way that seems so believable that other people can get confused.
True indeed. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Moll. And then we'll be back at continual program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Astral attempt number 2.
It doesn't make any sense. Surely you can't record your own spirit.
It felt like a dream, but it was so real.
Don't believe everything you're about to see.
Sab insidious diaboli. Libera nos domine. It's Ecclesian to unsecure to be fortius. Libertate. With the Father and the Holy Spirit.
You brought something here with you.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program. On RIB English Radio, this is Muhammad Jawad hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, helping me criticize the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Moll. Sayyid Abdullah, what's the nature of the entities Alex, the major character in this movie, encounters in the astral plane? Can we say that was demon or at least of demonic nature?
According to the lady that they went to see, who supposedly knows about these things,
yes,
which they found her book and they went to her house, she said that, if I remember correctly, that in the Bible it was referred to as demons, and she said in the Quran they referred to as jinn.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like the Quran definitely said in the Quran it's referred to as jinn, but in the Bible I can't remember if she said
fallen
angels or demons.
Yeah.
So these are the entity. At the end of the day, you call them jinns or demons, they are the same entities. So the name might differ, but the entity is the same. Each culture, each language might have a different name for it.
Yeah.
But these are entities that are, we know they do exist, from at least from an Islamic perspective. We do know that jinn exist. They have their own bodies. They have their own realm. They have their own, and whatever makes them, right? They are invisible to us. But are they in the same way that the movie was trying to project, that they are like demonic in their nature and they're just trying to attack you? I'm not sure. I've never heard of that, because they have their own business to deal with. They're not interested in human beings unless someone forces them to through black magic or whatever. But generally speaking, they're not there to harm you. They, you know. And
but when you leave your body, I mean, like when you get rid of the limitations which exist on this physical level, then you'll or you may face different entities or life forms out
there. So definitely that is true.
Like
so,
the story that is being actually reported, like it's in the Quran, that they were like, attacked by the shooting stars. Like God actually made it happen so that they couldn't eavesdrop, right?
Yeah. Now, so I suppose because if you are able to extract yourself from your body, then obviously things will be different. As the Quran says, فَكَشَفْنَا أَنْكَ غَطَاءَكَ وَزَرَكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. So once you leave the limitation of the body, then your sight will see more. So you might see jinn, you might see angels, you might see people who are actually also astral projecting themselves.
Yes.
But what the movie was also trying to highlight a point, which is very important, is that if you do leave your body becomes vulnerable to other entities getting inside it. And that's why the lady emphasized on doing the blessings. And even the guy himself, when he was trying it, he had to do prayers and he blessed himself and blessed his body. Right. So you need to bless yourself before you leave, so at least you protect it from being invaded by other entities, whether jinns or demons.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Mall. And then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoint, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
There were spirits surrounding you looking for a way in.
You saw them?
Yes. And our only choice is to banish them. There is one more powerful than the others. It seeks only destruction, and it won't stop until it gets what it wants. We need its name.
Why?
Most religions have names for them. The Bible refers to them as demons, spirits, and fallen angels, though I use the term loosely. The Quran refers to these spirits as jinn, a spirit from an unseen dimension. Alex, you'll have to do as you did before.
Project?
Yes.
No. No, that's what started this. It's going to make it worse.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize the movie Astral, directed by Chris Mall, produced in 2018. A British horror film with my guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah, and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, what's the overall message that the film, or this movie, Astral, is trying to convey about the astral projection and also the afterlife?
I don't think it's trying to show the possible dangers of something like this happening. Mm-hmm. One, showing that there are other entities that exist.
Yes.
Maybe at the end with that particular lady who brings about these charms and these prayers, the importance of prayer, the importance of religion to a certain extent, or religious teachings which may be taken from it. That's some of the positive things you can take from it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't really know what else you can take from the
movie. What about the challenges and the risk which exist or that goes actually with the territory of AP?
Like, for example, astral projection or out-of-body experience. Maybe, like, for example, does it create a hole for other beings to come through? I don't believe that, because at the end of the day, the realms of existence are already intertwined. So, for example, just because one person decides to do something or has the ability to have an outer body experience, does it create a rift in the realm for something else to enter? No, I don't believe this, because if the realms are already intertwined, there's already interaction between the realms. And if the realms have a vertical and causal relationship, then it doesn't really matter what you do. And again, as we even said, that even if astral projection is leaving the physical realm, we have no proof that it does.
Yeah,
it's just manipulating time and space to a very minimal and small level. Even then, we don't even know if the person is even experiencing it truly, because at the end of the day, a presential experience that a person, him or herself, feels is something specific to that person. If someone, and then that person then tells you, this is what happened to me, okay, fine. I cannot just deny it But I can also not just accept it.
Exactly.
That person may have felt it. I don't know that. But anyway, that person is not infallible.
It's like the authority of the dreams, which is authority to the dreamer.
Exactly. But even then, if you look at dreams themselves, there are certain dreams that 98% of dreams have no meaning whatsoever to them.
Yeah, true.
To the majority of people. But
they are as Ghawsa Ahlam.
Yeah, right? They don't have anything. But there are certain dreams that carry messages. And that's for a specific person who will then understand that their dream is carrying a message. The same here.
Yeah.
If a normal person who has no understanding, this happens to them, doesn't have a clue what is happening to them.
Right.
Just, you know, all of a sudden, okay, I had a wonderful experience. Okay, so what? Does it benefit you? It doesn't benefit you unless it takes you closer to God. If it doesn't take you closer to God, actually takes you further away from God, and it makes you do other things, then that's definitely satanic.
Yeah.
As the devils and the demons and the shayateen can do this.
I think this is a very good cornerstone, right? It's a good standard to differentiate between the satanic, the demonic, or angelic and divine kind of experience, right? If any kind of ritual or practice that makes you closer to God, then we can call it divine, right? Or something which
again,
is
you can kind of generally group it like this at the end of the day. Yeah, you could say that again, but that will only come with time. Again, time in the physical realm, obviously, the acts of the person, the demeanor of the person. There are many people who have gone down this path, in the true path of spirituality and mysticism.
Yes,
and they were big scholars, and they went astray. They became engrossed with things that they shouldn't have been engrossed with.
They didn't end up in
good. I mean, Shaitan has been there since the very beginning of creation.
Right.
Even before then, before man's creation. Again, this is not something that is set in time.
Yes.
But he knows man and will try everything to obviously do what he has to do to deviate man from that right path. Even the biggest of scholars have fallen into his trap.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Yasser, and thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution and the answers you provided to my questions in this program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize the movie Astral, directed by Chris Maul, produced in 2018. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Begin by getting into a comfortable seated position. When you're ready, softly close your eyes and tune in to your heart in the middle of your chest and a couple of inches inwards. And let all of your awareness center in on this space. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. And when you're ready, open your eyes back to the world around you.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Let us ponder on what the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has quoted from his cousin, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on the rules of fasting. Whoever fasts during the month of Ramadan out of faith and seeking Allah's pleasure and guards his ears, eyes and tongue from harming others, Allah will accept his fasting and forgive his past sins.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome to Israel Watch. On this episode, we will monitor the end of the armistice negotiations and the captives exchange deal in Cairo without reaching an agreement. We will also go over the failure of the occupation forces to achieve the declared goals in the Gaza Strip, which was reflected in more division and disagreement within the War Council and the administration. This is while we are witness to the escalation of protests by the families of the captives who hold Netanyahu responsible. Regarding these topics, I welcome the researcher on Israeli affairs, Mr. Fatih Kolib, with a warm welcome, dear professor. Let us begin with the last round of troops and captives exchange negotiations, which took place in Cairo and ended without any agreement, but they have not exploded yet. If there is a breakthrough in the Cairo negotiations, the reason is due to the intransigence of Netanyahu and Gallant, who cling to the aggression and refrain from any flexibility in responding to the demands of Hamas, especially on the issue of the return of displaced Palestinians to the northern Gaza Strip. If Mr. Fatih Kolib, with the end of the last round of negotiations in the Egyptian capital, Cairo, without reaching an agreement, can we say that the negotiations have not yet exploded as the Hebrew media indicated?
The results reached by this round of negotiations are a repetition of previous rounds. It was always with American recognition and the recognition of the mediators that the nature of the Israeli position and the raising of the level of the expectations by Netanyahu was the reason for this issue. It seems clear that the Israelis, specifically Netanyahu, only want from this deal and from these negotiations the issue of captives, while the resistance's demands are rightful and legitimate. Today, it has become clear, even at the internal Zionist level, that Netanyahu is the one who wants to prolong the crisis.
I mean, he wasn't serious and he didn't want to.
He does not want to reach an agreement. He wants the war to continue more and more within the framework of what has become known at the internal Israeli level and at the level of the whole world, that this war has become Netanyahu's personal war and not the war of the Israeli enemy.
Despite all the occupation army's bet on Khan Yunis to achieve the declared goals of removing Hamas and its leaders, these have not been achieved and will not be achieved in years. This is what one of the prominent commentators in the Hebrew media concluded. More than 5 months after the aggression against the Gaza Strip, Commander Yahya al-Sinwar is still free, leading the war against the occupation army and possessing sufficient capabilities. Mr. Fatih Kolib, removing Hamas in Khan Yunis will take years, and Commander Yahya Sinwar is still managing the war on the ground and also the negotiations. What is your assessment of this recognition and the Zionist approval?
I mean, the Israelis speak as if they know all the details of the Gaza Strip, as if they know where Sinwar is, where the resistance leadership is, where the captives are, and in what area they are located. Well, what if the Battle of Khan Yunis ended? This means that it has become clear that the resistance leadership, Sinwar, or the captives are in the north, in the area that the occupation said it liberated. It seems clear that the occupation does not have anything up its sleeve except one issue, which is the issue of killing and destruction.
The Zionist Minister of War, Yoav Gallant, retracted the goal that he announced at the beginning of the aggression against Gaza by completely removing Hamas, only to admit, 5 months after his failure in achieving his goal, that he did not want Hamas as a ruling organization in the Strip. So, dear Professor, how do you explain Gallant's retreat from his goal of removing Hamas once and for all?
Certainly, because it has become more realistic. Today we have reached the fifth month, and until this month, none of the goals has been achieved, especially the one related to the moving of the resistance and its structure. I mean, the Israeli public has not seen any of these promises fulfilled. Therefore, it seems clear that the nature of the divisions and positions they spoke of at the beginning of the aggression will change during the next stage in most cases. I mean, what is talked about in public is different from what is said in secret, specifically within the framework of the negotiating rounds, where the Israelis show some verbal flexibility in relation to not pursuing Hamas leaders during the coming period, but in front of the public, it seems like they are on a boiler and they are unable to fulfill any of these claims.
Yes, the failure to achieve the goals of this aggression was reflected in sharp divisions and disagreements between the occupation's army chief of staff and ministers in Netanyahu's administration. They accused the army of not accomplishing the mission, which required a strong response from its allies. Mr. Fatih Kolob, what is the reason for this dispute that broke out between the chief of staff and the army command and the ministers in Netanyahu's administration?
No, it's been present since the first day. I mean, specifically, it became clear about the nature of the differences between the army and some of the ministers, specifically Netanyahu and his Minister of War. When the army addressed the administration that it wanted a plan for after the aggression phase, it seems clear that the Israeli administration does not have a clear plan to give the army about what it wants from the aggression. The army leaders have said more than once that we are fighting and we have no goal that we want to achieve except what is related to the continuation of the military operation. Therefore, I say that the army has become aware that it is not fighting for the interest of the regime, but rather it is fighting for the future of Netanyahu only.
Therefore, how will this be reflected, and what is the impact of this dispute on the military and political establishment?
The main problem is that Netanyahu wants to sacrifice everything. He wants to sacrifice the army. He wants to sacrifice the security services and the captives. Of course, he is not concerned with the issue of reaching an agreement that frees the captives. Therefore, we find that the divisions are increasing, and it seems clear that the tendency is more toward what he is talking about. It is done by the Israeli army and not by what Netanyahu is talking about, that this war no longer has a specific function that the Israeli army is working on, and at the secret and undeclared level, the army is always demanding the necessity of taking initiatives to stop this process or setting clear goals. What does the political level want, and what does the administration want from this war?
Benny Gantz and Eisenkot, two members of the War Council, want to resign, but they prefer that Netanyahu dismiss them. This is what he told the protesters, according to an analyst in the Hebrew media. Dear Professor, Benny Gantz's resignation, will you find a way to verify it after his trip to Washington? What about the calls for Netanyahu to resign and go for the early elections option?
No, it seems clear that there is a division, whether within the administration or at the level of the War Council. But certainly Gantz wants to leave the administration, but does not want to submit his resignation. He wants to force Netanyahu to make this decision so that Netanyahu is the one who bears responsibility. Because if Gantz and Eisenkot submit their resignations, Netanyahu will interpret that Gantz and Eisenkot fled and withdrew, leaving him alone. In this case, the victor will be Netanyahu. Therefore, the American administration's advice is to continue within the administration until Netanyahu is forced to remove them both. In this case, the defeated will be Netanyahu, so I do not expect Gantz to submit. Rather, he will try to put more and more pressure in order to force Netanyahu to take the step. In most cases, the noose is tightening around Netanyahu's neck, especially since the United States is receiving Gantz alone, apart from Netanyahu. Maybe the Americans now benefit from pretending that Netanyahu does not have the previous legitimacy, so they prefer to continue with Gantz and with Eisenkot.
In the interview, the head of the Zionist opposition, Yair Lapid, calls on Netanyahu to resign, holds him responsible for Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, and says that if he remains prime minister, he will face another catastrophe. Lapid's words against Netanyahu received widespread support on Israeli social media, and these are just some of the comments.
Uri. Netanyahu would not have resigned from his position even if a Palestinian meteorite fell on Jerusalem and completely evaporated it.
Avi.
Question. Do you know a prime minister in existence who would not have resigned after the Meron incident?
Alon.
The man lacks conscious sense of responsibility and self-respect.
Miki.
Do you know a healthy country that would not have fled after October 7th with an administration of ruin and its president from day one?
Adi.
If the people do not come out in unison to remove the criminal Netanyahu from power, then we have no right to exist.
Shani.
It's hard to comprehend. This is a petrified regime.
Iran.
It's sad that they're talking to a wall. Netanyahu has made them a nuisance.
Amit.
Never mind. Shame. Let them all go.
MBDF.
No one cares about them. They all only think about their political interests.
Vyojin.
All 120 Knesset members must be sent home.
Your comment there, Professor. What is this reaction to a call for Netanyahu to resign? He described it as a disaster for the regime.
I mean, there seems to be a consensus, even within the Likud party itself. I mean, Netanyahu does not care about anything except his political future. But the question is, if they had been in Netanyahu's place, would they have prevented October the 7th? There are many prime ministers in each one. I mean, there was a disaster during Ehud Olmert's time. There was a disaster during Sharon's time. A misfortune has always happened to any of them. I mean, there is an issue of political opportunism. They always turn divisions and higher interests into direct personal interests. Lapid is no less than Netanyahu, like Gantz, and like all the other occupation leadership. It is true that they differ among themselves, but they are no less bad, and the problem that the enemy suffers from is a structural problem. It is related to the nature of those who fight them, the nature of the resistance forces. It is related to the unity among resistance fronts which has been built. These have created divisions and disruptions within the Zionist society with all its components.
Ante Ben-Gvir, who is a security threat to the occupation regime and works against the deal to release the captives in Gaza. This is a description by Amos Malka, the former head of Israeli Military Intelligence Directorate, Amman. Mr. Fatih Kolib, I noticed your smile at the words of the Israeli commentator. Why?
We must not be fooled by the Zionist classifications between extremist and moderate. Today, all of Zionist society is moving towards extremism. It is true that Ben-Gvir and Smotrich represent the true Zionist movement, but the others are no less bad. I mean, if Ben-Gvir and Smotrich are classified as extremists, then Netanyahu is classified as a moderate. Is Gantz classified? All of them are moderate, meaning they played with our blood. They all committed massacres against the Palestinian people and against the Arab peoples. And opinion polls confirm, in most cases, that the majority of Zionist society still supports the continuation of the war of extermination committed by the Zionist army in the Gaza Strip.
The families of the Zionist captives who are at the hands of the Palestinian resistance no longer counted on the Netanyahu administration to release them, but rather took the initiative to escalate their protest in front of the American embassy, also demanding action to resolve this issue. The families of the Zionist captives held by the resistance in the Gaza Strip are almost losing any hope of seeing them alive. Accordingly, some families have threatened to commit suicide due to the intense psychological pressures they're experiencing while their administration ignores the captives' issue.
The situation is difficult for families of the captives. Your comments, Professor.
The best expression of the Zionist democracy that they were boasting about and which they surrounded us with when they spoke of Zionist democracy is when a person is found who no longer has only 15 seats in the Knesset and is still unique in this decision. The families of the captives have become convinced that, yes, it is better for them to go to the American embassy because the truth is before us today. The real operating room is in Washington, not Tel Aviv.
Thank you for following up on Israel Watch, Professor Fatih Kolob, and thank you until we meet again, God willing.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman.
On Friday, we are here, 4th of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Ghafir, verses 41 to 42. We listen to it, we come back, we learn more about these verses.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويا قوم ما لي أدعوكم إلى النجاة وتدعونني إلى النار.
And O my people, how is it that I invite you to salvation while you invite me to the fire?
تدعونني لأكفر بالله وأشرك به ما ليس لي به علم وأنا أدعوكم إلى العزيز الغفار.
You invite me to disbelieve in Allah and associate with Him that of which I have no knowledge. And I invite you to the Exalted in Might, the Perpetual Forgiver.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Repentance and turning away from polytheism and disbelief will be accepted by Allah Almighty. However, such acceptance is not owing to inability and desperateness, but it signifies that Allah Almighty, the Omnipotence, is oft forgiving. The Divine Most Beautiful Names, the
omnipotent and oft-forgiving make a reference to the great origin of fear and hope on the one hand, and they allude to the negation of the divinity of idols and pharaohs lacking potency and forgiveness on the other.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Dua for the fourth day of Ramadan.
اللهم قرني فيه على إقامة أمرك وأذقني فيه حلاوة ذكرك وأوزعني فيه لأداء شكرك بكرمك واحفظني فيه بحفظك وسترك يا أبصر
Strengthen me in it to perform your commands. Enable me in it to taste the sweetness of mentioning your name. Enable me in it to truly thank you with your generosity, and safeguard me in it with your safeguard and cover, O Most Seeing One.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا
You are listening to today's special and Ramadan as a gift from Allah. The month of Ramadan is the month of forgiveness, the month of countless blessings, the month in which Laylatul Qadr resides, and so much more. Taking into account all of the attributes associated with the holy month of Allah, it is quite simply a gift from Allah. It is a gift that keeps on giving. The month of Ramadan is the month of fasting. During Ramadan, Muslims fast for a month from the time of the dawn prayer to sunset and spend most of their time in prayer and meditation. It is meant to purify the mind, body, and soul. Fasting itself teaches many things. Obedience and dedication for one, as Muslims around the world undertake fasting as commanded by Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, in our today's show, we shall be talking about the month of worshipping God. Ramadan is the month of worshipping God. Servitude and spirituality in the blessed month of Ramadan reach their peak, for it is the only month whose name is mentioned in the Quran. And its importance lies in the fact that it is the month of the revelation of all heavenly books. The blessed month of Ramadan is the month of Allah's banquet. However, this banquet is different from human banquets, since the spirit of servitude and spirituality prevails in Allah's banquet. The servants are welcomed with divine forgiveness. The blessed month of Ramadan is an opportunity to practice servitude. If someone practices being a servant of God in this blessed month and does not show reverence to anyone other than the sublime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he or she will have attained the best provision. A person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly in the month of Ramadan will no longer feel alone, as he or she have become connected to a flaw through which everything will be in his or her hand. A person who has attained reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through worship in the month of Ramadan will become creative. The blessed month of Ramadan has very high social and cultural aspects, to the extent that maintaining family ties, assisting the weak, and helping orphans in this month of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, have multiplied rewards. Drawing closer to divine piety is the greatest and best effect of fasting mentioned in the divine verses.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد.
What makes Ramadan so special compared to other months is that during this month, the rewards are multiplied. Every form of worship, every act of kindness, every good deed done during this month carries more weight and blessings. Allah's mercy and generosity is showered upon us in this month. It is said that the gates of forgiveness are opened during the month of Ramadan. All prayers are heard. This is why Muslims graciously donate to charity, undertake child sponsorship, and do other good deeds in addition to paying their zakat.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
The month of Ramadan is a determination to avoid sins. Fasting is not mere abstinence from food and drink, as we have heard many times. It is also staying away from all sins. While fasting, all the organs of the body fast and refrain from doing anything which would displease Allah. A believer makes a firm decision to avoid all sins that he commits most often and plans how he will stay away from them during the month. This conscious preparation of a war against sins is a very necessary item in the baggage of a believer in his journey towards Allah.
According to religious traditions and narrations, fasting in the summer season leads one away from temptations, brings one closer to Allah, and grants patience and perseverance. In the blessed month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humans the opportunity to reflect on their past deeds and actions before being held accountable, so they can account for their actions themselves. A person can, through supplication and prayer, prepare the grounds for polishing their soul from sin to receive the lights of mercy that shine upon the hearts of monotheists and believers. The nights and days of the blessed month of Ramadan are the best hours, and we must make the most of every moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always attentive to the spiritual elevation of His creatures. And if someone does not pay attention to the spread feast of this spiritual month, he or she have in fact fled from the light to darkness.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Please keep us in your dua and supplication. Have a nice time, and we leave you in Allah's protection.
Ramadan, 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 Ramadan. The blessed month has dawned upon us, with its merits and blessings combined. In it the Qur'an was revealed to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon his soul. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan. Without Iman being uplifted from reading the Holy Quran, and the joy of breaking our fast every day, O blessed month of Ramadan.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.